Time for more Pageant Talk Radio on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Valerie Hayes.
Welcome back to the show. Today we're talking with Maria Torres, founder and owner of the Belleza Latina pageant and owner of the Galaxy International pageant. Before the break, we were talking about judges and what it takes to be a standout contestant. Maria, is there anything that you would say, looking over the years that you've had both pageants, is there one thing that stands out in your mind as the number one mistake contestants make or do when they're preparing for the pageants?
I would have to say that one of the biggest mistakes girls make is that the most expensive gown is it.
So they're investing too much money in their gown and not in other areas of their...
Yeah, that this is it, or that they're going to win because of this gown. To me, you could have a fabulous contestant wearing a $100 gown, and she could go on that stage and make it look like a $1 million dress, where someone who has a $3,000 gown can go on stage and make it look like a $100 dress because of her presence, her poise, her overall confidence on stage. It just wasn't there, where the girl with the $100 dress has just this amazing shine and personality and confidence that when she's up there, that you don't even see the dress, you see her. And I think they need to focus more on that, improving themselves and making themselves mentally ready for the competition versus concentrating so much on the wardrobe.
You know, that's really good advice. I'm always getting first-time pageant girls who schedule like two half-hour coaching appointments, which is $150, and they've spent $5,000 and $6,000 on a gown. And when you're entering an elite competition at the state or national level, two coaching appointments isn't going to do it. And you know, it's really hard when they say, well, I don't have any money left in my budget. I spent $6,000 on my gown. You know what? I can't do anything for you if you're at an elite level. You're competing at an elite level and you haven't developed your actual skills. And I do agree that most contestants will often overspend on their gown and underspend in developing their skills. I know that your pageants have really been growing and that you have one of the highest contestant return statistics in the country. Why do you think contestants keep coming back over and over again?
Let's see. That is...
I might have stumped you.
Well, I don't think you've stumped me. I just want to answer it properly. One, I definitely think, aside from other directors, I'm a very hands-on director, and that has actually worked for me, and it's worked against me, where I've actually had contestants that have complained, not to me directly, but I've heard rumors where she's too hands-on, she's too nice to everybody, she's too involved with contestants, or, you know, but... Valerie, that's me. Like, I want to help them all. I want to be there. What is your concern? What do you need? Is everything okay? Are you having a good time? Is there anything that you see that's wrong? Or, you know, I care about their entire experience, not just them competing, their entire experience. How's rehearsal going? How's everything? How's the resort? Is the hotel staff being, you know, are they helping you? Are they... You know, is everything okay? Is your room okay? How do you like the pool? I care about their families. I care about the experience they have in general. I also work really hard to give them a very high-level production. I may not be Miss Universe or Miss USA or have that type of budget, but I don't skimp when it comes to things like that either. I give them a grand stage, a beautiful backdrop, and try to make it as beautiful and glamorous as I can for them. And it's just something that I think it's really important when you have a pageant, you want your girls to feel like Miss USA. You want them to feel like they're at the Miss Universe pageant. And I care about that.
Right. Well, and another thing that contestants are also looking for when they're entering a pageant is feedback about their performance. Do contestants in Galaxy International and Belleza Latina, do they receive their scores or any type of feedback following their competition?
Usually when the girls ask me for their scores, they receive them. Belleza Latina, believe it or not, I have yet for girls to ask me for scores in the 8 years that I've done it. If someone asks, I'll send it to them. But this past year with Galaxy, oh my gosh, after Galaxy International this past year, I had such a rough year, as far as just family things and just so many things going on in my family that I actually got a little sidetracked, and it took me forever to get the girls, you know, their scores out. And, you know, so I would definitely take full responsibility for that. But yeah, you know, we do try our best to get those scores out to the delegates. And comments are not always available, because when they're on stage, it's kind of like fast paced, and it's one delegate after the other.
It is really quick.
Yeah, the judges don't really have time for constructive criticism or comments, but they do their best. And if those were on their score sheets, it does get to the contestants. But what I'd like to also mention, Valerie, is that I don't know if you're aware, but our scoring system for Galaxy pretty much works like this. All the judges do their scoring on prelim night, and then usually by the next day, everything's been calculated by, you know, by the auditor. But all the score sheets get printed out, and all the judges have to review their score sheets, and they have to verify and sign off that their scores were entered properly.
And, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's something that, you know, also is very important to me, because so many directors out there, and I sympathize with every single director who has been accused of fixing or changing scores and just being dishonest, or, you know, and I understand it happens to everybody, but I really try to do my best to implement something where the girls feel that it's been done right.
It is really hard, isn't it, in that very tight time constraint of the pageant, to get it accurate but do it quickly. Because if it's too slow, people complain. But if it's inaccurate, then you don't get the right winner. So I agree. It's definitely a challenge, and I applaud you for working so hard to balance those two. If someone is interested, you know, they're thinking about being a director, they want to be a state or country director, what factors do you consider when deciding whether or not that's the person to award a franchise to?
Well, we definitely look at their background. All the directors submit a resume, and we hope and take them at their word that everything that's on there is true, and we hope that they would do a good job were they to be given this franchise. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way. So we have had our share of downfalls with previous directors and even a couple of current directors. So it's pretty hard to determine whether or not someone would be a great director until they're actually in that position and you've given them that opportunity to run a successful prelim. So I usually give everyone the benefit of the doubt and that opportunity to be a director. And if it doesn't work out, then it just won't happen again the following year.
And how do you handle it when, I'm sure this has happened at least once or twice, it's happened in every pageant, where someone contacts you with a complaint about their state or country pageant? Do you investigate it? Do you refer it back to the franchise level? How do you handle it?
Well, because I care about how everyone is representing the name of Galaxy, or, you know, Belleza Latina, you know, I do try to do my best to help the person, the contestant, or the parent. I can tell you right now, this past week has been, the week of issues, but I try to do my best. I usually refer it back to the director and say, listen, this is what I received. This is what the complaint is. You really need to rectify this. If this doesn't happen, I will have to get involved. And that another thing I need to do is I really have to really figure out, okay, is this someone just complaining because they didn't do well and they're just, you know, sour and bitter about losing, or is this a legitimate complaint? So you kind of have to decipher the difference and figure out if it's something that needs to be investigated and approached, you know, with true, you know, certainty and all that good stuff. But I try to give my directors the benefit of the doubt as well, but also try to help the contestant or her family who's ever complaining and try to come to a peaceful resolution.
Right. Now, not all contestants, of course, are competing at a state level. Some contestants are competing at large. What is the criteria for competing at large, and how do they establish residency for their at-large title, and how are at-large contestants selected?
Basically, for Galaxy, the way that the system was implemented is that there's an online entry form, and they fill out the form, and anybody at large can enter the pageant. We accept everyone, and anyone that wants to enter the pageant is more than welcome to enter. And the residence, the address that they have is the state that they should be applying for. Or if they want to represent their cultural background, that's also something that we do not have a problem with at all. So basically, we have an open policy for at-large delegates, and we definitely want every girl to have that opportunity if she so desires.
Now, if a girl doesn't lives in a state that does have a state-level pageant, does she have to compete in her state-level pageant before applying for an at-large title, or can she apply directly for an at-large title?
No, they really have to compete at the state prelim. It's in the contract, and it's one of our rules. If you have a pageant in your state, you have to compete at the prelim first. I actually have had girls that have given different addresses to apply, and then I find out from a director, she lives in my state, and she's trying to bypass the prelim to go to nationals, and then at that point, then I have to say, okay, well, listen, you know, you can't, and so forth, you know, but I have to, you know, I have to back my directors. They are running that state prelim, and I have to support them when it comes to that. So therefore, the delegate, the contestant, has to compete in that state prelim.
Right, because it just strengthens the state structure or country structure of the overall organization. So I certainly understand that decision. Now, you, of course, have kind of that fun fashion wear category. What is your definition of fun fashion wear, and what are the judges looking for in that category?
Oh, my God. This, to me, is probably the best category any pageant could have. I would definitely do away with swimsuit and just keep fashion, because I think you can be so much more expressive and commanding in an outfit that represents you or reflects your personality. So to me, this is great. And this is why I chose this in Belleza Latina 8 years ago over swimsuit. But to me, to have a fabulous fashion wear on that runway could be almost anything. You know, it has to be great and something with movement and something that makes you look fabulous. And the one thing in Belleza Latina is that we don't need swimsuit, because I don't know, Valerie, if you've seen Latinas competing, they can, you know, bring out pretty hot outfits. So, you know, all these guys that love watching swimsuit, it's like, hey, try fashion wear, because it can be pretty hot too. So this is their opportunity to wow the judges and just work that stage and just, you know, impress and shine and show everything they've got on that runway. And you could do that definitely with, you know, so many different things, so many different types of outfits. I've had girls that have custom-made outfits from as far as Puerto Rico just to compete for fashion wear.
So it needs to be an interesting style. It needs to move on stage. Not some stiff thing that just doesn't move at all. Is there anything that's just over the top, that's just too much, not what you're looking for?
Well, not that what I'm not looking for, but if it's too different, the judges might not know how to take that. So if you're a little too over the top,
So almost to the point of being a costume.
Yeah, definitely. So if you might confuse your judges whether or not you thought this was high fashion runway, Milan, you know, Paris type attire, that might be a little too over the top for the pageant stage, but at the same time, not something that's too pageanty. You have to find that perfect balance between, you know, fashion and pageantry, where the outfit incorporates both worlds into one, you know, look, and it works for you.
Right. So it needs to be fashion forward without being trendy, but still complement the girl. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So do you have a favorite fun fashion outfit that you can think of over the last couple of years?
Let's see. So many delegates.
I'm sure it's hard to pick from all of them.
It is, but I would have to say there was a contestant from Puerto Rico that wore this amazing fashion wear outfit. I was just like, wow, because it was sexy, fitted, but flowy, and it was just like, wow, it's just stunning and beautiful and colorful. So it just, you know.
And is it on the website anywhere if people want to look at it?
It would be on the Belleza Latina website, and they can look under photo galleries, and you'll find like the past few years of Belleza Latina on there. But yeah, just some of the girls have worn some spectacular things, and it's wonderful. I'm so honored that, you know, these girls have decided to enter, you know, my pageant, because it just makes me proud every single year, every time I see these girls.
How do you think pageantry in general has changed in the last 5 years, Maria?
Wow. It has changed in general. It's become such a do or die type of hobby where it's almost not fun for some girls anymore, because it's becoming so cutthroat. And the girls really need to remember that this is a fun activity, and don't lose sight of that. Yes, I understand everyone spends money and you know, it's expensive. It's an expensive hobby, but take away from it, you know, the most important things, which is you learn at every pageant, you meet girls from all over, and it's just a wonderful experience. And just in the past few years, it's becoming about, you know, oh, well, who made your gown, and who are you wearing? It's almost very Hollywoodish. It's kind of like, you know, and we need to bring that pageantry back, just like, you know, a certain queen who just gave up her title recently didn't even have a crown or a sash or a gown on.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I loved her outfit, I thought it was pretty hot.
It was bold, and of course she's referring to the former Miss Universe who just gave up her title, I guess, 2 weekends ago, and wore a tuxedo and not a crown, and it was a great move. Well, our last question comes from Ms. Classic American Dream 2008, and she is wanting to attend the Galaxy Pageant as visiting royalty. She'd like to know, where is the pageant, when it is, what time, and what the ticket prices are.
Oh, okay. Definitely. She could send me an email and I'll send her all of the information. But the pageant is August 2nd. It's on a Saturday at the Caribe Royale Resort in Orlando, Florida. And doors open at 7 p.m. And we're having a beautiful coronation ball afterwards.
Well, it sounds great. I'm so sorry I'm going to miss it. We have been talking with Maria Torres, founder and owner of the Belleza Latina pageant and owner of the Galaxy International pageants. She's a busy girl. To learn more about the Belleza Latina pageant, visit www.MizBelleza.com. And to learn more about Galaxy International, you can visit www.GalaxyPageants.com. Well, it's time to take another short break. We want to thank Maria for being with us today. And stay tuned. I'll be right back to answer your pageant coaching questions.
Ladies, here's your chance to be a part of the best pageant to compete in. That's right, the American Queen Pageant was named the best pageant to compete in, not once, but for the second year in a row. There's still state titles available, and we're looking for top contestants just like you. You can be a state title holder and have the time of your life at the 6th annual National American Queen Pageant in beautiful Daytona Beach. The American Queen Pageant has been featured on national TV shows, including MTV, Rachel Ray, Good Morning America, and more. This is the pageant with a mission. That mission is the prevention of domestic violence through early education. Don't delay. Time is running out. Just visit AmericanQueenPageant.net or email us today at info@AmericanQueenPageant.net. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. You can become an American Queen and make a difference in the fight against domestic violence. Visit AmericanQueenPageant.net or email us today.